I want you to imagine just for a second an investor's absolute dream scenario.
Oh, the theoretical utopia.
Right. You are looking at a market with an incredibly stable sovereign economy. Property appreciation potential is just, off the charts.
Robust structural recovery is actively underway.
Exactly. And the local government is heavily subsidizing urban innovation. It sounds amazing, right? But as we analyze the global landscape for 2025, institutional and retail investors alike are trying to figure out where those specific intersecting conditions actually exist in the real world.
Because with the entire globe as an option, locating the highest yield, lowest friction environment for real estate capital is, well, it's the ultimate puzzle.
Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are extracting the core intelligence from a massive stack of research, specifically focusing on Global Horizons, the 2025 Real Estate Investment Guide.
And our mission today is to cut through the overwhelming global data. We're going to decode the best real estate investment strategies for 2025, whether you're looking for safe harbors or high-reward wildcards.
Because finding the best country isn't about a single magic location.
No, not at all. Finding the best country is really about understanding how massive global trends intersect with your own personal financial goals. There is no universally perfect market, but there is an empirically optimal market for the specific financial architecture you're trying to build.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we even look at specific countries on a map, you need to understand the massive global trends shifting the ground beneath the 2025 real estate market.
The macro forces, right? You have to understand the why before the where.
Exactly. And we have to start with the heavy premium on sustainability.
Yeah, the conversation around sustainability has completely shifted, hasn't it? It's moved from public relations to raw valuation.
Well, the source material brings up a great example. Remember the cardboard box beds at the Paris Olympics?
Oh, yeah, that was everywhere.
Right, but that wasn't just a quirky design aesthetic for the cameras. It was a stark reminder, a highly visible declaration of this global mandate. Government incentives are aggressively pushing green certified properties, specifically those carrying LEED and WELL certifications.
And we are no longer talking about fringe ecological benefits here. We're talking about structural liquidity. A green certified building commands a measurable rental premium, lowers operational energy costs.
Which is huge.
So it's massive.
Yeah.
And it drastically reduces insurance premiums, which, as we know, are currently skyrocketing globally due to climate volatility.
But the physical building is really only half the equation, right? The second macro force is this permanent structural shift in tenant mobility, the whole digital nomad effect.
Right. Remote work has created a massive demand for midterm rentals. It's evolved from a niche subculture into a macroeconomic force.
Jurisdictions all over the UAE, Europe, and Africa are actively issuing specialized digital nomad visas to capture that imported income base.
What's fascinating here is the double-edged sword of this digital nomad visa. I mean, it's incredibly lucrative for investors.
Oh, sure. You furnish it to a premium standard, rent it to a remote tech worker, earning a San Francisco salary, and your yield multiplier is tremendous.
Exactly. But it creates friction and affordability crises for locals. The guide explicitly highlights Cape Town, South Africa, as the unintended consequence of this trend.
The canary in the coal mine.
Yeah. The influx of high-earning nomads has heavily skewed local rental pricing there. It basically decoupled housing costs from the local wage economy.
Which creates a massive localized housing crisis for permanent residents.
And that, in turn, could lead to future regulatory changes. Municipal governments are forced to react, right? They implement rent controls or ban midterm licensing.
So, as an investor, you have to analyze all this, the political elasticity, the green premiums, the local zoning friction. And doing that requires an analytical processing power that individual investors just didn't have access to 5 years ago.
Which brings us to the technology side. Smart home tech is highly sought after, but it's the AI platforms like Osol Gamma that are providing real-time, data-driven market insights.
I mean, using an AI platform like Osol Gamma for real estate is like having a financial GPS, whereas investing without it is like trying to navigate a foreign city with a paper map in the dark.
That's a perfect way to put it. It completely democratizes institutional-grade intelligence.
So, armed with that AI analysis and the understanding of these macro trends, let's look at how established countries are capitalizing on this. Let's look at the safe harbors and golden tickets.
The established markets offering peace of mind and investor-friendly policies.
Right. And the heavy hitter dominating the 2025 projections is the United Arab Emirates. Dubai, specifically.
Dubai is just offering an incredibly rare combination. You get 7 to 10% rental yields, tax-free income, and they are actively diversifying away from oil.
But the true genius is their 10-year Golden Visa program, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. By tying long-term residency directly to real estate investment, the UAE is intentionally transitioning the market. It's no longer just a transient boomtown. It's becoming a generational wealth reservoir.
Families put down roots, enroll kids in schools. It makes the capital sticky.
Exactly. Now, if we shift our focus to Western Europe, Ireland is generating immense institutional interest.
Yeah, the yields there are sitting around 6 to 9% in cities like Cork and Galway.
And the mechanics there are really driven by a massive tech sector boom colliding directly with a limited housing supply.
Yay.
You essentially have long-term capital appreciation baked into the asset because they just can't build fast enough.
Okay, so Ireland has the supply constraint driving value, but the guide also looks at the Mediterranean region. It heavily promotes Cyprus, Greece, and Portugal. Now wait, haven't Greece and Cyprus historically had major economic debt troubles? How are they considered safe harbors?
It's a fair point, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to look at how these Mediterranean nations engineered their comebacks. They didn't just passively recover.
They actively changed their policies.
Yeah, exactly. They actively used policies like golden visas and residency programs to attract foreign capital and stabilize their housing markets. Greece, for example, eliminated wealth tax for foreign buyers and offers 4.5 to 6% yields.
And Cyprus took a different angle. They offer up to a 7% yield and a 5% VAT. But the big draw is that their legal system is based on British common law.
Right, which provides a rigid, predictable framework for contract enforcement. It's a huge psychological safety net. That's why we see such high demand in places like Limassol and Paphos.
And then Portugal rounds out that Mediterranean comeback. Setúbal, the Silver Coast, they offer high quality of life and stable yields of 4 to 6%.
So those are your structurally secure safe harbors.
Right, but they require significant upfront capital. Here's where it gets really interesting. What if you're looking for a lower entry cost? What if you don't mind a faster-paced emerging market?
You're talking about the high-reward wildcards.
Exactly. Investing in these emerging markets is like getting in on the ground floor of a tech startup. The buy-in is cheap and the upside is massive, but you have to be prepared for some turbulence.
The early bird gets the worm, essentially. You have low entry costs, rapid urbanization, and far less competition from large institutional investors.
The 2025 research isolates Colombia, specifically Medellin and Bogota, as offering 6 to 8% yields and high growth potential.
It also flags the Philippines, specifically Cebu, and Turkey.
But the risks in these markets are completely different than in Ireland or Dubai, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. The demographic growth is undeniable, but you have to impartially weigh the risks versus the rewards. You're exposing your capital to volatility, potential bureaucratic changes,
opaque land registries, legal loopholes.
Yes, and potential political instability.
Yeah.
These emerging markets just lack the steadfast legal frameworks and stable economies of places like the UAE. Exhaustive due diligence is an absolute necessity.
So we've seen the global trends, the safe harbors, and the wild cards. But how do you actually take action without falling into a trap? Let's open up the investor's playbook.
It all comes down to the mechanics of the deal, strategy, and due diligence.
And the research emphasizes that you have to understand the local legal and tax frameworks, foreign ownership laws, inheritance tax, property gains tax.
Which is exactly why you have an absolute necessity for local partners and financial advisors. You cannot navigate this alone.
You also have to monitor the economic indicators, right? GDP growth, inflation, interest rates.
Yep.
But the most critical one.
Currency strength. The danger of exchange risks is huge. An unstable local currency can eat your profits when converted.
So what does this all mean? Let's run the math on this because it's wild. Say you purchase an asset in Colombia and you're getting a fantastic 8% rental yield.
Which sounds great on paper.
Right. But that yield could theoretically be entirely wiped out by a bad currency exchange rate if you aren't paying attention. If the peso devalues against the dollar, your profit vanishes when you try to bring it home.
Exactly. Which is why currency hedging is so crucial. But this raises an important question, really. The ultimate filter for everything we've discussed today.
What's that?
You have to identify your primary personal goal. Are you hunting for steady rental income? Are you looking for long-term capital appreciation? Or are you after lifestyle and tax benefits?
Because the quote-unquote best country is entirely dictated by that answer.
Precisely. The stable, tax-free yields of Dubai serve a totally different goal than the high-growth excitement of Medellin or the tech-fueled appreciation of Ireland.
Let's do a quick recap. 2025 is clearly defined by green tech, a lead, and WELL certifications. It's defined by digital nomads reshaping local markets and AI platforms like Osul Gamma providing crazy predictive insights.
The choice really is yours. Safe harbor or wildcard?
But I want to leave you with a final, slightly provocative thought, something to mull over. We talked about how AI platforms are giving individual, everyday investors the exact same data-driven global reach as massive hedge funds.
The democratization of data.
Right. So with everyone having access to this intelligence, how long will these quote-unquote overlooked emerging markets actually stay undervalued? Are we approaching a future where the entire globe is just one hyper-competitive, standardized real estate market?
That's a fascinating point.
Yeah. Does the very idea of a hidden gem eventually go extinct? Something to think about as you plan your next move. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.